Well, good morning, everyone, and I hope everybody is having a great morning this morning, this winter weather morning. And over here in Douglasville, we're just now getting some good heavy snowflakes over here, and so it's exciting to see that, especially after canceling services today. Something better fall from the clouds. But anyway, I hope everybody made it through the evening okay. I know some has lost power, and some folks' power has come back on. So we praise the Lord for that. But yeah, we been watching this weather pattern all week, and closer to Sunday that it got, the more we feel necessary to keep everybody safe and cancel the services today. And so, the Lord willing, though, we'll be back in service this coming up Wednesday night and 7 o'clock. So, remember that and be with us there. And, again, it's just good to be here this morning, live from our dining room. And I know this is actually bringing back some memories from when the first of the pandemic set out. And I had a stream live from home. And I did that for at least a year, I believe, here in the church. And so bringing back some memories. But we're excited this morning to share some stuff with you from God's Word. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And then we're going to dive right in this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name today. And Lord, we're just so very thankful for this family time that we're able to have. Lord, and to look out the window and see the snow falling. God, it's a time of reflection, actually, where we're able to just meditate for a little while and reflect upon the blessings of God. And God, today I pray that we would indeed do that, that we would just focus on your goodness and who you are and what you've done. And Lord, I pray that you would protect everyone, that those who may be traveling, going here and there, to and fro, Lord, that you give traveling mercy to those who are on the road. And again, Lord, just keep us all safe. And Father, we'll praise you. We'll thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And just ask everyone if you would remember those on our prayer list. Of course, we have our online bulletin. That's another blessing of having that online bulletin, and www.calvaryministries.org. You can tap on the bulletin icon there, the tab, and you can get a list of our bulletin there. So, let's remember all of those who are in need, those who are struggling this morning, those who may be in a financial crisis, marital crisis, trials and testings that we all go through, but there may be some this morning that's struggling real bad, and so we're remembering you in our prayers and as we preach this morning. We're not going to keep you long this morning. We may be 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, but we certainly have something on our hearts for this morning. I'm not really sure if I would have preached this at church this morning. It's just what I feel the Lord has laid on our heart for this moment, during this circumstance, with everybody being at home. And we're starting the message out this way. A toll was taken one time, asking people what would they have to feel like they had it all. Some said, a lot of money, then I would feel like I have it all. Others said, fame. If I was famous, then I would feel like I had it all. Some said a mansion would make me feel like I had it all. A new car would make me feel like I had it all. Power would make me feel complete, and it made me feel like I had it all. And so this was a literal toll that was taken of those in this world, that if they had these things, they would feel like that they really had it all, and there was nothing else to receive. This morning, as believers, We have something that's so much more greater than these temporal, fading, destructible things. We have Jesus. What could we want more? And a couple of these things mentioned, though, is okay to have. It's okay to have a house. It's okay to have a car. We got to have those things. And money. But the things that we mentioned, they are temporal things. They're not eternal things. And on a scale with eternal things, there are no comparison whatsoever. And so this morning, I want to direct our attention to this topic, things we have in Jesus. Things we have in Jesus. In fact, four things this morning I want to mention that we have in Jesus. And these things are, again, in no comparison with worldly, temporal, fading, fleeting things. These things are eternal things. These things are things that the believer has now that when I mention these things, where you're sitting at in your living room or wherever you're at, if you really digest and meditate on, it can really, really encourage you. It encouraged me when I was studying it. It made me feel like that the Lord knows my needs and He'll provide at the appropriate times. All right, this morning, four things we have in Jesus. Number one, we have a hedge around us. We have a hedge around us. The book of Job, chapter number one this morning. Very familiar story, the book of Job is. And we know the story. We know that Job was this just and upright man. He shunned evil. He lived for God. Every morning he would make sacrifice to the Lord on the behalf of his children, just in case they sinned. And we know that there came a day when, verse 6, when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And then verse number 8 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Now listen to this. This is Satan speaking. Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth now thine hand, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now we know the ultimate goal this morning, this conversation between Satan and God. We know ultimately that Satan wanted to take advantage of Job, wanted to have Job in a place where he would blaspheme or curse God. And so the devil, Satan, he's telling the Lord, the only reason why Job is serving you, the only reason why Job loves you is because of what you blessed him with. Verse 10 speaks of a house and his work, his family, and all the rest. So Satan is saying, the only reason why Job is serving you is because of the things you blessed him with. But again, I call your attention to verse number 10, the word hedge. And this word hedge, it means a fence. And so the scripture says, hast not thou made a hedge about him? Hast not thou made a fence about him? You know, this is exactly what parents do for their children when they're small. They'll build a fence or have a fence installed around their yard for two reasons. Number one, so they cannot get outside the fence and go running down the road, you know, and fall into trouble. But the second reason is so that nothing can get in from the outside. In like manner, that's what we have this morning. We have God, and He has made a hedge around the life of Job. God has erected an invisible fence of protection so that he can't get out and get into trouble, so to speak, but more so, nothing can get in and mess with him and destroy him. We have this hedge of protection, and Job is protected here. I remember the first time that I read this verse and God spoke to my heart about a hedge. We were actually, Christy and I were at a wedding at Berry College, and we stayed the night in a cottage, and I was reading these verses, and God spoke to my heart and said, I have a hedge of protection around you. The moment you got saved and trusted me as your Savior, I put a hedge around you. I put a hedge around your your marriage. I put a hedge around your house, your home, all the things that are precious and valuable to you. I put a hedge round about you. And that's what we have here. God having this hedge of protection. And so these verses imply and really state that the devil tried to get to him. The devil tried to get within the hedges. Verse 10 again. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house? So really, number one, the devil already tried to get to Job, and then he tried to get to his house. Hast not thou made a hedge about him? That implies that Satan tried to get to him, but could not because of the hedge. And then he tried to get to his house, but could not because of this hedge. And then he said, and about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands. And so he couldn't get to Job because of the hedge, couldn't get to the house because of the hedge, couldn't get to everything that he had on every side, the Bible says. And so the devil tried to get to his children, but could not. The devil tried to get to his finances and tried to get to his work and his income and production and things like that. But the devil could not. Because of this hedge. This morning, if you are a born-again child of God, you have a hedge of protection. And I want to say that is far better than any temporal thing on this earth. It's far better than any fame. It's far better than any fortune, any mansion, any new car, any stack of money. This hedge of protection is what matters most. And I praise the Lord this morning that we have this hedge of protection. You see, again, Satan could not get to Job because of this hedge. And so God keeps a hedge. Excuse me. God keeps a hedge around us, protecting us from the devil. The only time that Satan can mess with us and move in and try to bother us is when God permits it only. The only time anything can happen, detrimental or negative, in our life is if God lowers the hedge. And I tell you, it'd be a good thing if you don't already. When you pray, ask God to keep that hedge of protection up. Lord, keep protecting me. Lord, keep protecting my home. Lord, keep protecting my marriage and my children. Lord, keep protecting my church. Lord, keep protecting us. Lord, keep the hedge up in our life. And so we do know, based upon this story of Job, that the only time Satan can move in is when the hedge is lowered. And if the hedge is lowered and God's permitting some kind of adversity in your life, it's because he has a plan and he has a purpose of maturity. And so we see that if Satan tried to get to Job, then no doubt the devil many times have tried to get to you and tried to get to me. We just many times don't know about it because of this hedge. So this morning, The first thing that we have in Jesus is a hedge. A hedge of protection. There's a second thing that we have in Jesus. Not only we have a hedge around us, but we have hands around us. We have hands. The book of John, chapter number 10, in verse number 28, listen to this. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a blessing this morning is that we are in the hand of God. We're in his hand. And you've heard the song, he holds the whole world in his hands. And it's a blessing how big God's hands are. But nonetheless, we have hands around us. We're in the hands of Christ. We are in the best hands that ever was. There's a commercial, I haven't heard it in a while, but it used to come on and it was from Allstate Insurance. And it'd have a picture of two big hands with a family right in the center of their hand, in the hands. But then they'd have their catchphrase. Some of you are probably already saying it right now. Their catchphrase is this: you're in good hands with Allstate. This morning we are in the best hands, way better hands than any earthly corporation, any insurance company. And that is the hands of Almighty God this morning. We can be at ease and we can rest in our homes today. Although the weather is bad and it's snowing and icing and all of those things, and on the inside we may be troubled and may be struggling about the things of life, but you see, you can rest at ease this morning that you're in the hands of Almighty God. Now, we are protected in his hands. He's protecting us. He is making us able in his hands. It's because of the hands of God we can do what we do. It's because of the protection of God in the hands of God that we're protected this morning and our life is not a life of destruction. And so we praise the Lord for that. Now, turn to Isaiah, if you would, for a moment. Isaiah chapter number 40. Listen to this, what the scripture says about God's hand. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 12. It says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. You say, Brother Justin, how big is the hand of God? I got to know how big his hand is so I know how protected I am, because I got a lot of things going on in my life and those things might just escape his hand. Well, the Bible says here in verse number 12 that he measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. All of the lakes, the creeks, the rivers, the oceans, they're all measured out. And they were given and planted specifically in this world, in their own locations, by God Almighty and his hand. The Atlantic Ocean, and all the rest of them, the Mediterranean and the Gulf of Mexico and all the rest, the Pacific, all measured out. God said, here you go, putting that one there. Putting this one here. Measured out of the Gulf of Mexico, placed it there. All of the rivers, he says, here, let's put a river here. Let's put a little creek there. Let's place a big body of water, what we call a lake, here and there. And so he has literally has measured out the waters in his hand. But then the Bible says, and meted out heaven with the span. And so the span of a hand is from the tip of the thumb all the way across the hand and to the top of the little finger. That's the span of a hand. And so what he's getting at is that he has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, the span of his hand, and placed them in particular in their spots. And then he goes on and he talks about and meted out heaven with that span. The galaxy and the stars and the planets and all of those, heaven itself. But I believe here he's talking about the second heaven, not the fowls of the earth that we see in the sky, but the second heaven. He's talking about outer space. He's talking about the stars and the moon and all of the planets. God has, he has measured them out. He has placed them, and given them, put them in position in the span of his hand. You know, there was a study done in NASA, and it talked about how many years it would take to get from Earth to a certain location in outer space. And then once you're in space, how many years and how long it would take to get from, you know, Mars to the next planet. You know, how long it would take to get from one planet to the other planet and visit all of these locations in the galaxy. And I can't remember the exact numbers, but one of the scientists said it would take thousands and thousands and thousands of years to get from one location in outer space to the other location in outer space. Thousands and thousands of years to get from one spot to the other spot. In the very place that God had measured out in his hand and said, this is the galaxy. You say, what does that mean? How does that refer to me? How does it refer to you? Well, if it takes thousands of years to get from one location to the other, and God Almighty had measured the galaxy out in his hand and placed it there, you and I are in the hands of God. That speaks volumes this morning. Because if he can measure out the waters with all types of the bodies of waters and plant them in place and set the stars in their place and the moon and the galaxy and all the rest that would take thousands of years to travel back and forth, the Bible says that we are in his hand and nothing can pluck us out. What a blessing. Far better than any temporal thing on this earth. Far better than any money. Far better than any job. Far better than any new car. Far better than any kind of fame, fortune, any of those things. The very best thing this morning is that we have hands around us. Hands around us. And so we see that we can rejoice over this. And we see that the believer has this in their life. We have hands around us. We have a hedge around us. But number three, let me say this. We have a helper about us. John chapter number 14. We have a helper about us. When the Lord was here on earth, the disciples did not want to see him go. It was a sad day for them when Jesus said these words, I'm going back to heaven from which I came. He later says, but I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But it was a sad day for them because they walked with him, they talked with him, they had a relationship with him. And so for a day to come where he says, guys, I'm leaving. I'm going away. It was a sad time for them. And have you ever had a friend, a relative that was going away, that had to move away? It's a sad time, isn't it? I remember growing up as a little boy and then a teenager, but we would move around a lot. We started out in Georgia, of course, and moved to Mississippi and, you know, Alabama, Florida. And we would We would get a place to live, a trailer, an apartment, and we would stay for about a year or two. But within that year or two, I'd be really plugged in at a school, meeting all kinds of friends. And then the day came, each and every time, Mom and Dad would say, "Son, I hate to say it, but we're going to have to move. We're going to go and relocate to this part in Florida." We lived in Fort Walton Beach for a long time. Mobile, Alabama, Pascagoula, Mississippi, all of those places. And I can just remember riding down the highway and in our automobile, and I can just remember the hurt, the pain I was feeling. Listen, young people have real pain. Our children and teenagers, they have real pain and emotional needs. So let us as parents always be aware of that, that while it may not be a struggle or a sad emotion we're feeling with necessarily with what they're going through, because we know that they'll get through it, but they may be, and they may be hurting. And so we have here these disciples, and Jesus was getting ready to go away, and their heart was broken. They were sad. I mean, he performed miracles. He loved on them. He saved them. He called them. And now he was leaving. And so when we look at this story in John 14, we do see that Jesus knew what the disciples needed in the moment that he was leaving. Those disciples needed comforting words. Look at, if you would, verse number 16 of John 14. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." This morning we see here that in spite of how they, or because of how the disciples felt, Jesus knew what they needed. They needed comforting words. And we know that when Jesus accomplished his mission and went back to heaven and sat at the right hand of the throne of God, we know that the Holy Spirit came and was deposited into the heart of every believer. And so what that is literally Jesus' Spirit in the disciples. And today, when a person gets saved, we have the third person of the Trinity. We have the Holy Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, but we have His Spirit within us. And that's how we live this Christian life. That's why we even desire to go to church, read our Bibles, pray, share Jesus with someone, because it's the Jesus on the inside of us. It's because of Him we hand out a tract. It's because of Him we pick up the phone and call someone and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you." It's because of Him we do what we do. And the blessing is that we have a helper about us. Jesus is our comforter. And so what it is a comfort to know, we have Jesus' Spirit with us and in us and for us each and every day to teach us, to guide us, empower us and watch over us. Far better than any temporal thing on this earth. Anything that those people mentioned in that toll that, "Well, if I just had this, I feel like I'd have it all." Those are temporal, fleeting things. But what the believer has is much more greater. We have a helper that is about us. Let me mention one more thing and then we'll be through. Again, we're talking about four things we have in Jesus. This morning we have a hedge about us. We have hands around us. We have a helper about us. But then lastly, we have a hope above us. A hope above us. We who know the Lord have heaven above us waiting on us. We have an inheritance. We have Jesus. We have loved ones. We one day will have unending joy and delight. No more sickness, sorrow, pain, sin, setback, heartache, anxiety. No more suffering. No more of any of those things when we go to heaven. Because we have a hope above us. Heaven is our hope. Jesus is our hope. This is our hope above us. And it's actually called our blessed hope. Our blessed hope. You see, we can confidently say that we have hope this morning. And this kind of hope is a confident expectation. We know we'll be in heaven one day. If we called upon Jesus' name to save us, we'll be in heaven one day. And when we're there, again, we'll bow at Jesus' feet. We will reunite with those that our loved ones who are saved. And then there will be the absence of all of the negative things we experience here in this world is when we get to that world. Sometimes it's hard to comprehend how it's going to be there. But in all actuality, it's going to be much greater than this place that we call home now. This morning, just wanted to encourage you, church, that we have some things in Jesus much greater than any worldly possession. My prayer is today is that we would take in this time where we're not meeting together at the church house, but we're meeting through this live stream and we're with our families. Let's just take a moment and say, thank you, Lord, for the things that we have in you. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping us in your hand, for having this hedge of protection around us. Thank you, Lord, for those priceless things. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, Lord, for what you do. And God, although we long to be together in person this morning at the church, there's just something special this morning about being here. And Lord, I thank you for this moment in time where as I look out the window, there's snow falling. And yet, Lord, I'm preaching the gospel online. That is just such a special feeling and opportunity. Thank you for this time. I pray we would bond with our families, Lord, and I pray that we would stay connected to you. Maybe there's some that needs to recommit to you, not get saved all over again, but get recommitted to you. Or maybe there's some watching, Lord, that's not even saved. They don't know if they died today, heaven to be their home. But my prayer is they would reach out and contact someone, contact me if they need help to know that heaven to be their home. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Be with our church, Calvary Baptist Church, and all of the prayer requests, and just our family as a whole, our church family as a whole. Bring us back safely on Wednesday, if it be your will, and just help us enjoy this day today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining this morning. I do want to say again that there will be no Facebook Live tonight, and so remember that. Join in another church digitally if you want to. That would be a great opportunity that you wouldn't normally have. But anyway, be safe, take care, and God bless, and we love you.